We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm serious when I say it, Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, this is one of those times that I thoroughly enjoy. I get to kind of sit back and receive some content from people who just know stuff. At least they say they do. And I love to bring on people that are kind of part of the fabric of the show, and two of them happen to be with us right now. So let me just recognize right here in the studio, Butters is with us. Hey, man, how are you?
Go Navy, beat Army.
And I'll put the mute button on your mic right about now. Now, you doing good, man?
I am.
Happy to be here. Yeah, your girls are about to graduate.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yep. You're so old.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine. So I'm feeling the pain of sitting through all sorts of ceremonies, but prouder and prouder every day.
Prouder and prouder every single day. Good times, man. All right. Well, glad you're here. And on the line with us right now, our friend and cohort, Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Miss Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing good today. Ready to dive into these subjects.
All right. Let's do it then. I'll tell you what. That means we have an episode of Butters and Lee. Okay, I'm going to go with some political whack-a-mole for the first one. I'm going to just throw out some stuff here, and I want your thoughts. I want your unvarnished opinions like you've ever held back. So first of all, here's my question for you. Is Biden going to be on the ballot come November? Is he going to make it? Is he going to be on the ballot come November? What say you? I'll start with you, Lee. What do you think? Is Biden going to make it all the way to the ballot?
You know, I would have said in the beginning that I didn't think so, that he would step away or have a, you know, I'm using air quotes, an illness or whatever. The closer we get to the convention, though, the less likely that is, because it's just that you do reach a point where it's just too late. But I don't know what they're going to do, because they don't want Kamala. She's so incredibly unpopular. I mean, really, she is incredibly unpopular. So he can't just step down, because then that slides her right in. So I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I'm still on the fence on whether or not he makes it the whole entire way. I think they have some other people that they would like to, you know, move into that. Gavin Newsom being one, you know, a few others. But I don't know. They're running out of time if they are.
I think Gavin Newsom's been measuring the drapes in the White House for about the last year and a half.
Oh, for sure.
All right. So, Butters, what do you think, man? Is Biden going to make it to the ballot?
I kind of feel like this is a debate, like debating the date and time of the apocalypse. Like only the father knows, you know? I think I'm on board with, I mean, yeah, it certainly seems less and less likely, but like we've talked about so many times in 2024, well, there's a first time. Oh, wow. This is unprecedented. Hey, this is a horse, you know, so.
We live in the unprecedented right now.
Yeah. It feels like. I mean, it's so hard to. And then I guess the other thought that jumps in my mind is, does it matter?
What do you mean by that?
Well, does it really matter who the Democrats run? I mean, okay, so if we accept that he's kind of a puppet anyways, whoever's going to vote for him is probably going to vote for whatever puppet they put in place and whatever story and narrative they try to orchestrate would be my guess.
I tell you where it matters. Here's where it matters. Where it matters is the moderates, the centrists, the independents who are sitting there and they're not sure what to do. And they may not really like Trump, but they really can't stand the way they feel under Biden. And so they're thinking, I got to make a change. And then someone comes along and says, look, Michelle Obama's going to run. Really? Oh, I feel better about that. I can live with that.
Don't give them any ideas.
Listen, they've already got the idea. So here's my thinking. Watch for this. They put the first debate pretty early. It's in June. It's only a few weeks away. So, yeah, it's first debate. You can't see the air quotes that Butters is giving me on the radio, but he's giving me air quotes right now. But the first debate is in June. And then think about this. The Democrats scheduled their convention far later than usual. In fact, so late that some states, Alabama included, were saying, you're not even going to certify your candidate in time to get on our ballot. So Alabama made accommodations, but Ohio hasn't yet. But what I'm saying is this. June debate. How does he do? Oh, my God, that was awful. He's proven that he can't sustain himself. We've got until the late certification at the convention to decide what to do. I look at that gap in time as their decision-making processes are going to be turning. All right, I'm going to the next question, though. The other obvious question I have to follow that with is, not just is Biden going to be on the ballot, but who's going to be on the ballot with Trump? Who's going to be the VP? Who is it right now? Lee, I'm going back to you again.
Oh, jeez.
I can hear the wheels turning, the smoke coming out of her ears.
This is a tough one. And I will say this. I've moved in another direction that I, after seeing a few, just seeing a documentary and a few shows, that I would really love to see General Flynn as the VP.
See who?
And I never knew that he was on the short list for VP the last time until I saw him speak.
Who'd you say, Lee? Who was it?
General Flynn.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's an incredible person.
Yeah,
he is. He's really
incredible. He really is.
And
that probably means he won't be picked.
So dirty.
It's what?
Yeah. He said he probably it means he probably won't get picked. But the thing is that he knows the ins and outs of the government and all the letter agencies so well that it'd almost be a waste of him to be a VP. But I also think that so much was taken from him that he deserves that honor.
He'd be a smoking hot Secretary of Defense, though, wouldn't he?
It'd be combustible. It'd be crazy. But here's the thing, though. Who ever looked at that list? Like, I just have to question Trump. You looked at a list, and they named it out. Like, the list was horrible. Pence, Chris Christie, a couple of others, you know, Flynn, and I was just, and he looked at that and chose Pence? Like, why? Well, I guess now we're looking at it from hindsight, but.
I tell you what, I won't talk about Pence right now, but what say you there, Butterman?
I don't know. It just seems like I'm just going to sit and wait. Jokingly, I'd say the way things have gone 2024 and UFO testimony in Congress, you know, who knows, an alien comes down. And I mean, like, who knows what the heck is going to happen? And it is a little frustrating. It'd be nice to
see. So you don't have a single name. You're like, okay, so if she's picking Michael Flynn, who do you have one you like? Just throw it out.
I guess in general, I still go with, you know, to your point of the moderates and playing that game, the people that really need to be swayed, it needs to be somebody, as much as a lot of us would be like, I want a Vivek. I want somebody that's going to, you know, that's really going to get super conservative. Maybe he needs to get somebody that's going to attract the, okay, maybe they can keep the crazy orange guy, you know, at bay. I don't know, but
I think if he does that, there'll be a revolt. I mean,
no.
I don't mean a liberal.
I mean someone that is.
I know you don't mean a liberal.
More centrist.
You don't think Nikki Haley, do you?
Like who?
Like, are you talking Nikki Haley right now?
I need to hear a name.
Yeah. So Lee's calling you out right now, hard.
I don't have a name. I don't know. I mean,
no.
You're losing points with John's grading system right now. You know that, don't you?
If I knew, I would tweet it out.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm going to change the topic here. I'll tell you what, I'll say this. I think right now that Tim Scott's in the running because they're talking about the idea that the minority vote is going to be part of what sways this election. And I could see Tim Scott being and plus South Carolina is a big swing state. And then I think one of the other really strong ones is still possibly DeSantis. I would not be surprised to find, you know, wham, all of a sudden DeSantis says, I've chosen to be the VP and go for it. I'm waiting and watching, but those are the two names that I see right now being in the forefront. That's just me, though. What do I know? All right, so next question before we run out of time. We only got about 2 minutes on this one, so Lee, you can't filibuster. Just saying. Harrison, I had to call her out. Harrison Butker, kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Devout Catholic, strong in his Christian faith. He gave a commencement speech at a small Catholic college and set the liberal world on fire. He basically, in his speech, if you look at the transcript of it or even watch the video, he basically said that he wanted the graduates to understand that their degree was not everything in the world, that he felt that his wife felt that she was fully empowered by being a homemaker. And so let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on his comments? Were they worth all the fuss we're seeing online right now? You first this time there, Butters.
I think they're going to find something to pick apart, and particularly if you speak about anything like that, that would, you know, instead of actually having a conversation about that and understanding the context with what you're saying it, you know, and at the same time, go speak your piece, you know, I mean, speak your piece and whatever. If they're going to find something wrong, especially if you're conservative.
So you don't see the fuss, and you know the fuss is going to be there no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to find an excuse.
I can see that. So. I can see that. What say you there, Leister?
He's a conservative Catholic speaking at a conservative Catholic college to other conservative Catholics. No, I don't see a problem with anything that he said. I think they're blowing this out of proportion so that all the, you know, girl boss BS, you know, wine ass can all sit around and complain for, you know, a conservative.
Wait, what did you call these people? The girl what?
Girl boss types and wine aunts, you know, that your aunt sitting around getting loaded on wine complaining about conservatives.
I mean,
I got the middle image.
If you've got a bunch of them that are going to get up and walk out of a commencement speech by Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, here, somebody's going to get upset about anything, especially.
Here's what scenario. I think, too. I think that they had to do something to have something to scream about, because Biden just gave the most god-awful commencement speech last week when he went to Morehouse College, a historically black college in Atlanta, and told hundreds of black kids their country doesn't love them because of their skin color.
I love the round of applause.
It was tepid.
It was like, I'm not sure what the president of the United States just said about democracy and what has it ever done for me?
Democracy sucks, and because you're black, no one loves you. Thanks for coming today. Congratulations on your graduation.
I'm pretty sure I just got pandered to.
Pandered? Yeah, that's like the Panderverse. Like, I don't know if y'all ever saw that one, but it's a great movie. And no, I'm surprised you didn't break out in a Negro spiritual. What a load of garbage.
Golly. And there was also, by the way, did you notice there were these faculty members that were on the stage behind him that decided it was a great time to get out the flag of the Congo and stand there with the President of the United States and the flag of the Congo behind them as some form of protest?
Well, you've got a bunch of Congress folks that have flying the Ukrainian flag in the House of Congress. I mean,
well, there's that.
I mean, like I said, 2024, aliens, you never know what's going to happen.
Every time we turn around, we're living in unprecedented times. All right, we're taking a break right now. We're taking an unprecedented break. That's precedented. Anyway, we're taking a break. We're with Butters and Lee. We come right back. They flip the script, and I wait to find out what questions they have for me. I think I'm going with Lee first when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So we're back for round two of Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, this is the part of Butters and Lee where I just sit back and they ask me a question, and I don't even know what it's going to be yet, so I'm just going to go to Lee and see what you got. Lee, what's your question for me?
Well, it's funny that you brought up those Congo flags at Biden's address. So what do you think of this, like, few people from Utah, of all places, both white and black, going to the Congo and trying to overthrow their government? I'm like, what is happening here? Have people lost their minds? And I know that one of them had, you know, family there in association with someone who's always tried to, you know, run for office. But I'm just saying, like, who in the world leaves Utah and flies to the Congo? And so I wonder what you think about that. And do you think that they'll ever be able to come home, or are they just dead men walking?
You are asking me an off-the-wall question. So first of all, there's a Utah woman that describes, you know, like the terror of seeing her son detained and beaten after the coup last year. And, you know, we've got Americans being named in a foiled coup plot over there. It is crazy. And so those Americans, by the way, are going to have a hard time coming home, just saying, because they have gone over and attempted to destabilize a foreign government. And the Biden administration is probably not going to take kindly to it. But here's the thing. We're being run out of Africa right now as we speak. I mean, the Congo is a mess. Niger is a mess. We spent $100 million building a major base from which we conduct counterinsurgency operations in North Africa. And Niger had its own coup and decided we should be just gone. Let's get rid of them. And so all of our troops, 1,000 U.S. troops are having to pull out of Niger, where we've been training their forces and spending money and doing good things so the Russians can come in. So I look at the whole thing. First of all, I don't know. Maybe those folks were actually CIA plots and it went bad. But I'm really thinking that's one of the bizarre stories in foreign policy. But it's just classic for the world that we're in right now. So how's that?
Well, and the CIA has past history of trying to destabilize the Congo, to kind of disrupt any influence from Russia. So Russia's influence in Africa is not new.
No.
Neither is our effort to destabilize.
No, Russia and China both. They see natural resources and they want them.
It would be absolutely crazy for a civilian to go into a foreign nation and try to disrupt their government. I mean, Soros would never.
That can't happen.
Well, if you're a billionaire, these guys weren't.
Yeah. He's doing it the subversive way. All right, what's your question for me there, Boudreaux?
So Netanyahu and Israel,
Bibi.
Right? So more rhetoric of arrest warrants from the ICC. And I guess you don't see countries like, I don't know, Germany, the UK, just telling them, just sit down and shut up. So I think the UK prime minister, I think I saw, made a comment of like, well, we might, if Netanyahu, if they issue the warrant, then the prime minister of Israel shows up on UK soil. We'd have to what? As we go down this, what does this mean for the UN, for NATO in general,
and the
silliness?
So the ICC, that is not the International Cricket Committee, by the way. That's which there is an ICC, International Cricket Committee. Yeah, the International Criminal Court. So based out of The Hague, I believe, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm just going to say right now, I would love to see them try. Because if
really,
yeah, can you imagine? So let's say Netanyahu's on vacation and suddenly they take him out of his hotel room and sweep him away to The Hague to stand trial. The Mossad and the IDF and Shin Bet are going to come in and they're going to smoke that place. It's going to be the most epic rescue mission ever. And they're going to salt the earth after they burn The Hague to the ground. And they're going to go home and laugh. Good luck, fellas.
Is it just one more possible flashpoint for something even worse?
Right now, I look at the ICC almost like I look at the UN, sort of laughingly, rolling my eyes, tired of us spending money on them. I understand their purpose. Like in the Balkans, when you had Slobodan Milosevic and others that we tracked down and we tried them on an international scale. I understand. The leader of a free democratic country who's at war after his country's been assaulted, and they want to then indict him, but they won't indict the leaders of Hamas, screw y'all. That's what I have to say. Go try it. Come and take it.
Video was strange.
Listen, the whole thing is nuts. All right, Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you so much. We'll have you back on next week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.